I'm tired. Not just because I didn't sleep well last night. I often don't sleep well on Saturday nights. And Sundays are early mornings. But it's a deeper tired than that. And I don't know if any of you can resonate with that. This week we celebrated, isn't the right word, commemorated that it's been 30 years since 14 women who dared go to school to study engineering were gunned down in their class, while 14 others were wounded in that time. And they were shot because they were women, because they were women who dared step out of line. It's less than 2 years ago that a person in Toronto rented a van, drove it down Yonge Street on the sidewalk to kill as many women as he could. I'm tired of it. 30 years, women are still being killed and harmed in violent ways. Countless years, Indigenous women in particular have gone missing and been murdered, and we still aren't really doing much to find them or to protect them. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of our politicians fighting and posturing for their political sides without actually getting down to the brass tacks of working together to make our country better, to deal with issues of poverty and marginalization and water and just all the basic human rights that are needed by so many people. I'm tired. I'm tired of politicians fighting teachers and student suffering. I'm tired of all the violence and the hate. I'm tired of hearing yet another story of faithful Christians in another part of the world being massacred for their faith. I'm tired of it all. And so when I read a passage like Isaiah 11 that promises that one day the wolf will lie down with the lamb, that children will play amongst the wild beasts, that infants will guard the holes of venomous snakes, I take hope in that, and I want that day to be now because I'm tired of the day it is right now. I want Jesus to come back. I want it to be done. I want the violence to be over. I want us to stop marginalizing people. I want the politics to end. I want us to care as much about the people who have no voice as the people who have really loud, annoying voices. I want an end to what is, and I want Jesus to come back. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I don't want to hear one more story of a student on a university campus who kills themselves because of the incredible pressure and stress and anxiety of school. I don't want to hear one more story of a child that has to be taken out of their birth family because it's dangerous for them to be there, be put into a foster family, and it still be dangerous for them. I'm tired of it. I want what Isaiah promised. I want the God of justice and peace. I want the God in whom there is hope. I long for the peace. I long not just for an end to the fighting, which is often what we think of as peace, just an end to war, an end to violence and fighting. The Hebrew word that's used is shalom. It's bigger than just peace, nonviolence, and not fighting. It's about wholeness. It's about healing all those things that lie beneath the fighting and the violence of our world. It's about the picture that Isaiah painted. It's about those broken parts inside of us being knit back together and made whole. It's about our own prejudices, our own hatreds, our own longing for vengeance on other people. As righteous as we might think that we are, all of that being corrected and healed. It's about people who are vastly different from each other, standing side by side around the throne of God to worship together, recognizing finally that we are brothers and sisters. Not that we are them and us, or that we are in and they are out, or we are us and they are other. But we are all one. We are all united. We are all the family of God, adopted by God. That's what I long for. That's why I want Jesus to come back. That's why I want, in Isaiah's vision and the other visions throughout Scripture that speak of what's going to happen, it's the same thing the people of Israel were longing desperately for 2,000 plus years ago. When John the Baptist was in the wilderness, when he was standing at the banks of the Jordan River, why were people swarming to him? Because he seemed to symbolize something new. He seemed to symbolize that maybe the oppression, the injustice, the unrighteousness, the violence, the crucifixions, maybe all of it was soon going to be over, because maybe God was finally going to step in and fix it. Maybe God's kingdom was finally going to come and get rid of all the other kingdoms. We look to that. We look to that at Christmas, going, Christmas, the birth of Jesus, the most unlikely way a Savior could come to the earth, as a tiny little vulnerable baby, born as a refugee, a displaced person, living and growing up in poverty, living and growing up as not having a voice in his society. It started the inauguration, the kingdom of God. But it's not all here yet, is it? I'm tired. I want Jesus to come back. I want the fighting and the violence to stop. I want men and women to recognize that we are brothers and sisters, and to love each other to the extent where we uphold the other, where we no longer think that our world is a place where power and position and voice have to be competed for, but instead that it can be shared, that by holding up the other, we actually are held up ourselves. I want to live in a world where we aren't deemed less human because of our gender, or the color of our skin, or what part of the world we come from, or how much education we have, or what our income is each year. I want the kingdom of God. A kingdom of God where there's no more mourning or crying or pain, where there's no more violence or hate or oppression, where there's no more sin. Because let's be honest, the thing that underlies all of it is sin. It's this infection in our world that came along way, way back earlier in the beginning, and it still infects us. We are still diseased by it. And even as convinced as I or you might be that we're the ones on the right side of things, we are as infected by sin as the people on the wrong side of things. And I'm tired of it. And so at Advent, I feel the waiting. I look at two flickering candles, and I really want there to be five. And I really want those five candles to be so bright that there's not a shadow left in the world, that there's nowhere left for the dark things in the world to hide, where there's just the light of God, and everything else is burned away. I long for the shalom that Jesus promised. The wholeness, the restoring of our world to what was intended when God first created it. When God looked at everything he'd made and he said, oh, it's good. And he looked at people and he said, oh, that's very good. I long for him to look again and say, oh, that's very good. And I long for us to be able to look at each other and say, oh God, you did good work. People, they're cool. Instead of, oh, the world would be great if it wasn't for all the people. Advent is about waiting. It's a space carved out for longing. For longing for all that's wrong in the world to be made right. It's a time which is carved out in our Christian calendar for it to be okay that we go, I'm tired of all of this. And the temptation, because it's a time of waiting, is just to sit back. Is just to sit back and look at the lights and look at the candles and long and dream and hope and do nothing. But at no point has waiting in God's kingdom ever meant doing nothing. If we're going to experience shalom, even a glimpse of it in this world, if we're going to have any kind of ability to see, to anticipate what it is that God's kingdom is all about, it's because we're going to manifest it in the here and now. Yes, we're still infected by sin. Yes, it's going to be imperfect. It's not going to be perfect the way it will be when Jesus finally comes back. But it doesn't mean we just sit on our chairs and we just wait and go, okay, God, when's it all going to happen? We get up, we get onto our feet. We go, we're waiting for this to be fully realized. But in the waiting, we do something. In the waiting, we be shalom wherever we are. We bring wholeness. We bring peace. We be that. There's a song. it's like a hippie song. Some of you know it. Let there be peace on earth. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. And then it's only male language, but imagine it says, brothers and sisters, with God as our father, brothers and sisters, all are we. Let me walk with my brother and sister in perfect harmony. Do you know that song? Yeah. We're not going to actually sing it. I thought about we would maybe sing it, but we're not going to. My beautiful rendition, I'm sure, was enough. what I love about that song, and why it was like going over and over and over in my head, and it's an annoying song. It's an annoying song to go over and over in your head, so you're welcome. It recognizes that peace, that shalom, that the answer to our world's problems is partly in our hands. Now, it's not going to be fully realized until Jesus comes back. Let's be really clear on that. That the kingdom of God that promises the wholeness, that promises the corrections, the abolition of all sin, that's not in our hands. But nowhere does Scripture suggest that we just sit passively in our seats and wait for Jesus to do whatever it is that Jesus is going to do, because all through Scripture, we see that God's preferred way is to work with people and through people. He raises up prophets and leaders and kings. He raises up the most unlikely people. He raises up disciples and apostles. He raises up business people and teachers. He raises up prayer warriors. He raises up people who are the caregivers. He raises up all sorts of people to make his world a little bit more like his kingdom. So that when we go out there and we talk to people who've never heard it before, when we say, did you know, when we take on John the Baptist mantle and we say, did you know the kingdom of God is coming? And people go, the kingdom of God, what is that? I've never heard of that. We can say, look at this. This is what the kingdom of God is like. We're not just making stuff up going, can you have a great imagination? Can you imagine what it would be like if everybody got along? Could you imagine what it would be like if people were brothers and sisters truly in the heart of it, if they held each other up instead of trying to trample over each other, if they worked together, if they lifted up the poor and the marginalized? Can you imagine? It's not just imaginary. We're going, look at where that is happening here and here and here. Look at this person as an example and this person as an example. Because in those places and in those people, there are pockets of samples of kingdom of God. If we just sit back, I'm tired, God. I just want your kingdom to come. I think God is screaming at his people. He's screaming in the background of gunshots and van motors and politicians bickering. He's screaming in the background going, you want my kingdom? Then be my kingdom already. Don't just sit back waiting for me to show up like Santa Claus with some presents for you. Get up. Be my kingdom. Let there be peace on earth, but let it begin with us. Let's be shalom wherever we are. I so desperately want God's kingdom to come. And I know that as much as I try to be an agent of peace, an agent of righteousness, an agent of hope in the world, I'm going to get it wrong as often as I get it right. I know that. I know that as often as I forgive, I also hold on tight. I know that as often as I manage to love my enemy, at least as often, I'm calling out to God for his vengeance. I know that as often as God says, Elaine, be silent, I'm yammering on. I know that as often as I go, this is what justice is, this is what righteousness is, he's saying, but Elaine, are you being just and righteous to those that you are blaming, that you are hating? We have to be active participants, even though we're going to get it wrong. Even though it's going to be muddied by our own sinfulness. This is the beautiful, amazing thing. God isn't up there screaming, going, come on, church. Come on, my children. Come on, Christians. Do it. God is saying, hey, everybody, remember Jesus. I sent him to teach you. And then do you remember what I did? When he came back to me, I sent the Holy Spirit to be in you, to change you, to keep teaching you, to keep revealing my ways to you, to keep making you my kingdom. It's not God sitting up there going, oh, you people, you can't get it right. It's God going, I'm giving you everything you need to be my kingdom wherever you are. I've given you everything in my Holy Spirit. When we become Christians, we say, I will follow Jesus. He is the Lord of my life. We say, Holy Spirit, you get to live in me. We say Jesus lives in our heart, or the Holy Spirit lives in our heart. What we mean by that is that we actually allow God to change us. We allow God to get in there to the dark corners of ourselves, to pull out the weeds, to shine light on the things we really would rather see stay hidden, so that they can be dealt with. It is uncomfortable. It is downright painful sometimes. And it's the way that God's kingdom will be here. It's the way that I can stop just being tired, because I'll start to see glimpses. If I can see that God is doing work in me, even me, and I know some of you, you're the pastor. Let me tell you, even me, then I can believe a little bit more that this world isn't the place of violence and hate, and that those things don't win. I can see one or two flickering candles, and I can believe that even that is enough to change our world. Yeah, you know what? 30 years ago, a guy walked into a university classroom. He separated out the men and the women, and he shot the women for no other reason than that they were women. You know what else? Thousands of people are talking and writing and saying, this isn't good enough. This has to end. Yeah, less than 2 years ago, a guy rented a van so that he could knock down as many women on the streets of, on the Yonge Street as he could. And people rose up and they said, this is not okay. It's going to be different. Talking to my niece in grade 8 this week, and she said to me, you know what we learned today? We learned about stigma. I thought, that's interesting. What did you learn about stigma? Well, we were talking about mental health and stigma. We didn't learn when I was in grade 8 about stigma or mental health. I didn't even know any of those words in grade 8, I don't think. My niece is growing up in a world where she cannot fathom why anybody would want to hurt her because she's a girl. That's progress. There's hope in that. My niece is growing up in a world where the fact that her friend is a different religion or has a different color of skin doesn't mean anything different. It doesn't mean they can't be friends. It doesn't mean they can't hang out at each other's houses. It doesn't mean one is better than the other. It doesn't even occur to her any of that. That's a better world. There are glimpses. There are things that God is doing in our world that are good. Do they make the national headlines like mass shootings and van attacks? And do they get all the press time of our politicians? God help them all. Not usually. And if we're just sitting in our chairs, tired, waiting, we'll probably miss it all. And we'll be more tired. And we may give up on the waiting. We might give up on God. But if we get out of our chairs and we start looking and we start being and we really open up and let the Spirit of God do the work in us that needs to be done, that's where the hope comes, because we start to see where God is at work. And that's where the shalom comes, because it starts in us first. Our own broken parts start to become whole and healed. And then we start to be able to bring wholeness and healing in the other places that we go. We are called by God to be active participants in his kingdom. Not just when Jesus comes back, but now in the in-between time. God's got a laundry list in me that he's working on. What's he working on in you these days? What's he challenging you with in yourself? Are you willing to let him do the change, do the work, do the challenging? John the Baptist is an important Advent voice because he was in the wilderness and he was calling out to the people, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent, turn around, repent, change your direction, repent, allow God in to do the work he needs to do. That's the important work that we do in the waiting, not just sitting back, but letting God do the work in us that he has to do, because that's the way of God's kingdom. It's the only way that we can live in the waiting and let the waiting not just kill us, not sap the life right out of us so that we're just tired, is if we truly surrender ourselves to Jesus, to his Holy Spirit, and let him do what he needs to in us.